It's time to step into the more that God has for you. This is Eunice Lai, and I would like to welcome you to today's episode of Beyond the Building with Laura Perino and Debbie Kiever of the Beyond Women's Conference.
Well, welcome back to Beyond the Building. This is Debbie Kiever with Laura Perino, and we are in our second week of our March series called Dreams. And Laura, I know that you and I were loving having Pastor Trish with us to lead off the month last month. But today is a special day because this time you have brought some very special guests with you. So how about you do some intros?
I would love to do that. And if you are watching this podcast today, you can see a great big smile on my face. And I hope you can hear it in my voice. Yeah, because today we have two very, very special women near and dear to my heart. We have Jenna and Zoe with us today. They're going to share more about themselves in just a minute. But I met Jenna at a Bible study here in Nashville for girls her age, young women her age. And I just love that because I'll just put this out there. I am much older than that age. And it has been so wonderful to connect with these ladies and study God's word together. And then through Jenna, I met Zoe and heard a really powerful testimony between the two of them. And when I heard it, Deb, I just knew they needed to be on our podcast in this month series of dreams. So Jenna and Zoe, why don't you guys take a moment and introduce yourselves to us, please?
Yes. Well, hi, we are Jenna and Zoe. I'm Jenna.
I'm Zoe.
And we are honored that you asked us to be here today. Laura, I love you so much. And I just really am honored. And I feel blessed that you would want us to be part of this and to share a bit of our story with you. Yeah, we're just thankful. We're excited.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
We are a worship duo. So we do Christian music here in Nashville. We met at Belmont University whenever we both moved here right after high school. So I grew up in Connecticut. Jenna grew up in Texas. And whenever we met in college, we kind of just knew we were supposed to do music together. There was never, we always joke that there was never really a conversation that we had where we were like, okay, I want to do this. Do you want to do this? We just started doing it and we started leading worship together and writing songs together. And the Lord just kind of like anointed that partnership and that friendship that like came from all of that. And so, yeah, we do Christian music. We write, we record, we love the church, We have like a huge heart for the church and worship music. And we're independent artists and that's our full-time thing. So we kind of transitioned into that about a year ago, doing that as our main thing. And we love it. It's been a journey for sure, but it's been really fun.
Oh, wow. I just love your story. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jenna.
There was one time that I asked Zoe, Zoe's married, and I asked her, how do you know when you're dating someone that that's who you're supposed to marry? And she was like, it's the same thing with us in our music career. Like we started singing together and we both just knew that we were choosing each other and that this was like a covenant type partnership. We were like, oh, I'm in this for the long haul and I know that you are too. And I thought that was really special. So that kind of speaks to the like divine bond that I really do believe that we're lucky enough to have, which is cool.
I love that so much. There's so much about your story, even as you're just sharing that, that reminds me of Debbie and myself, because when we were just talking before we started recording today, we were talking about the fact that Debbie and I were college roommates. You guys were college roommates. God has brought you two women together, right, to do something for the kingdom. And I love that Deb has brought us together to do something as well. So that is just so exciting.
It's probably like you guys just started singing together. Laura and I actually had almost a recording session ourselves. Did you ever hear about it?
Yeah, I would love to hear about this.
Did you know that if you sing into a oscillating fan that you sound even better?
Yes. I loved that game.
So we have some great footage of Laura and I singing into fans in a dorm room, but nobody signed on and instead we just teach together.
That's so funny.
Put that in the podcast.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure we have pictures. That is very funny. Maybe no video because our phones back then, we didn't have phones.
You guys sing for fans. We had fans singing. That's what we had.
That's so good.
That is good. That is good.
Oh my God. Sometimes like that. Sometimes it feels like that for us. You know what? It's all good.
It did not sound like that the other day. Man, worship was awesome. I loved it so much. Well, I remember, you know, Jenna, I from the time I met you, I knew that you were an artist, but I don't think I heard the music until I was on Instagram one day and saw your Christmas song, you guys put out this year. And I just love that song. It was about hope, you know, bringing hope to the world. I just love that so much. I love your merch. You know, I bought your hat and I love merch anyway. So then merch that would say Jenna and Zoe on it was super special to me. And then I saw on the Instagram also that you guys got to sing with the Gaithers. That must have been a moment. I grew up with the Gaithers.
Gaithers. That was my first concert. My first concert.
Amazing. Amazing. And I know you guys travel as nannies, right? For a Christian band. And it's just like you're surrounded by worship. Just saying this is your full-time thing. You do worship for the church in whatever shape that looks like. Debbie did just allude to the fact that we do have some fan singing in the background. But, you know, when I'm not an artist or a songwriter, can you just quickly tell us, what does it look like to write a song? What does it look like to write a worship song? And I know you guys are always led by the Spirit when you do things. So how does that feel? What does that look like when you guys put a song together?
Logistically, the songwriting process, it looks a little different every time, but for the most part, one of us will have some sort of an idea, whether that is like something from scripture or from a revelation when we had a quiet time, or God, you know, opened our eyes to see something in our surroundings, or a conversation with a friend or a sermon, and that will spark something creative in us to be like, oh, I think that would really be moving, you know, to put that as lyrics to a melody and to a song. And then sometimes that looks like, maybe I just have a melody in my head, like just the notes, like not even words, just a melody. And one of us will bring that to the table. Or typically I think one of us gets like a verse or a chorus. Like I have this chunk of the song that I have strung together from one of the examples that I just mentioned, or even something as simple as like, I'm really loving, you know, Psalm 23 these days. And maybe I just sit down and try to put part of Psalm 23 to some lyrics. And then, I mean, to some melodies and like form it into lyrics. And then Zoe and I will sit down together and just try to finish the rest of the song. And we like to bring in like a third person, whether that be a producer or a third songwriter. We really like to write the two of us with one other person to bounce ideas around.
Mm. Yeah, we try. It's kind of fun. We have like voice memos is like our holy grail. Like we are always on voice memos. Just if there's something I hear in my head or, you know, whatever one I remember, we'll voice memo, but then also notes. We have each, I think individually have a running note of just kind of like ideas. Maybe it's a word, maybe it's a phrase, maybe it's a, you know, a concept or a Bible verse or whatever, kind of what Jenna was saying. And then when you get in the room with other writers, we usually like to bring in a third or sometimes a fourth person. And whenever you get in the room, you kind of all start to share what's on your heart. What have you been thinking? And then you can go back and look like at your notes and at your voice memos and share. That's always the most vulnerable part of the write, but it kind of kicks it off. Like that vulnerability kicks off the rest of this session. Because you're like, I don't know, I'm going to play this out loud. And it was at 2 a.m. last night, or it was in the car while I was driving here. And I don't know if it's any good, but I'm just going to put it out there and see if you guys like it. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't stick and someone else's idea is more the vibe of the room. But yeah, it's just cool to the creative process is really fun.
It's like at all times you need to be ready to be very vulnerable and then be shot down.
Yeah.
And if you can get yourself in a headspace of like, I'm willing to give my vulnerable, honest, creative ideas, and then that not be what the room picks. If you can write a song from that spot, then the song's always the best.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm feeling a lot of what you're saying there, because Debbie and I know when we think about a women's conference or different things, we'll start almost what you were saying there, almost thought like, hey, I was thinking about this in my quiet time today. And yeah, God was speaking to me about that, and things start to come together. But it's really interesting because maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know that there's the vulnerability in that, right? That you guys are doing in a song, because you're, like you're saying, 2 o'clock in the morning, you're actually singing something into an app, and then you're presenting that to people that might say that really doesn't work, right? Yeah. And Debbie and I don't necessarily have that when we're thinking more of a teaching idea, because there's not as much vulnerability.
It's just us. It's like, I can take it from Laura.
Yeah. So I appreciate that. There is so much vulnerability. I love hearing what other people do when they're hearing from God. Now, you did share there that some of this comes from your quiet time. So I would love to hear, you know, how does the Spirit lead you during your quiet time? Are there any, what does your quiet time look like? I think sometimes we say to people, hey, in my quiet time, this is what God spoke. Or some people maybe aren't at that place where they have a quiet time. What does your quiet time look like? Or are there any specific spiritual practices that you put into play to hear from God?
Yeah, I think the quiet time, cultivating that time with the Lord has been something that has super ebbed and flowed for me in my journey. I think we can all relate to that, of being like, gosh, it's, you know, I was on such a kick and I was reading my Bible every day. And then I just had a lot of weeks where I either got busy or I was hurt about something, or I just didn't know how to come to Him. But when I'm in a season of really being intentional about getting in the Word every day, my favorite right now is this Change Your Life Bible that is every day. It's taking you the Bible in a year, 365 days. So you do a little Old Testament, a little New Testament, a little Psalms, a little Proverbs. I think there's a lot of different kind of curriculum that you can do that's similar to that. And I really like being able to open up to the day and just not having to think too hard about. It's just an easy access point of like, okay, I know I'm going to get a little Old Testament, a little New Testament, a little Psalms and Proverbs, and I can work off of that. When I'm in a season of being really disciplined about that and doing and making space and time for that, that's usually the time that I'm the most creative, because I feel like I'm making space, and that overflows into my writing with Him. Because at the end of the day, especially in our genre, I don't know what it's like in country music or in pop music, but in our genre, it's like my creative, you know, ability really only goes as far as my relationship with Him, of like, how much are we talking about, you know, that thing, or that concept, or that pain, or that worry, or that doubt, or whatever. It's like, if I'm not in constant communication with Him, then sitting down at the piano just feels like I'm trying to force something. But if I've had conversations with Him all day about this doubt, let's say it is, of what do you have next for me? I feel like when I sit at the piano, it's just this overflow. So I don't know if that like totally answers, but I think that quiet time really looks a lot for me, reading the Bible and then just being quiet and seeing anything stirs up in me that I would want to kind of sit at the piano and play with more in my head.
Yes, I would agree. It's like, I can definitely speak to the times that I have not been disciplined enough to spend time with the Lord in any capacity, whether that be reading my Bible at some point during the day, whether it's a devotional, whether it's making the choice to listen to worship music in the car and spend that time in communion with Him rather than listening to like the pop music that I love and things like that. When I have not disciplined myself in those ways, I've totally gotten into a writing setting or a writing room and felt like I had nothing to contribute, because my well of what I knew about the Lord seemed to have run dry. It's like, I don't know what else I can say about Him right now, because I don't know anything about Him that I haven't already said, because I'm not spending time with Him. Yeah. And the opposite of that, I feel like the Lord has revealed to me over the last few years that I see Him in repetition. Like, I will see things over and over again, and I know that's Him speaking to me. Like, for the last year, anytime I see butterflies, I just really believe that means that God is with me and that I'm in the right place. And even today, we showed up to a studio session, and they asked if I wanted coffee, and she brought me a coffee cup covered in butterflies, and then Zoe took off her sweater, and her shirt is covered in butterflies. I know.
I love that
you are with me, and you can just let me know that I'm in the right place, whether or not I've been faithful in my quiet time. So it's essential that you, as a songwriter and as a believer in general, spend that time devoted to getting to know the Lord and communing with Him. Because as we spend time with Christ, we look more like Christ. But also, I've seen Him time and time again show up despite how disciplined I was. And every time I feel like, oh, wow, I feel like I just got a good idea, I don't really believe that I'm all that creative. I think God put it into my head.
I think there's a parallel, whether it's you guys singing or Laura and I writing and teaching. You can have natural talent, right? You can have natural talent to write songs. You can have natural talent to be a public speaker, but that's where it stops in terms of spiritual things, unless it's coming from the overflow of the heart, right? That time with the Lord, it's just natural talent, and it will not, it's not going to be the impact It's not going to be reflective of his heart unless it's flowing from him. So I think it's great that you guys are accountable to each other, you know, spurring each other on, like you encourage each other. When someone's having a kind of a rut, you know, where they're getting tripped up a little bit, the other one's just pulling alongside, just to keep encouraging, keep looking for the God pointing the direction. I'm laughing with the shirt. Laura and I have like a shared album on our iPhones, especially when we started opening the Beyond Women's Conference. We were praying for all kinds of direction and confirmation. And we started seeing literally butterflies show up everywhere, because that was our first conference, was Soar Beyond. And so we started documenting pictures of these butterflies, like people with entire dresses covered in butterflies, like stuff like that. But again, it's not that it's the butterfly. It's that God is speaking to you consistently, and you're both keeping your eyes together on his direction.
Yeah.
And I think it's a safeguard, because you have natural talent. But in order for him to really have it like a calling on your life, you got to stay connected, you know, to the source of what he's producing in your life. Laura shared a little bit about, and she didn't share much, so I am excited to hear about this, but your ministry goes deeper than just enjoying worshiping God together. It sounds like he has put on your heart a ministry to widows.
Yeah.
And so I'm fascinated to hear about what this is about. So what is that ministry? How did he plant that on your heart? And how did he use a special song, giving you the words, right? Giving you the melody, and how has it impacted lives? What can you share about that?
So the ministry is called Never Alone, and it's a widow's ministry, as you said. And we got connected to them probably 6 years ago, Zoe is good friends with Elizabeth Hasselbeck, and she so generously hosts the opening of the Nashville retreat for this ministry. She hosted night one in her backyard many years, and all of these women will come, and they're fed, and there's fellowship, and it's in her backyard, and it just kicks off the retreat. It's sweet and it's intimate. And Elizabeth asked if we would come and sing and lead worship for these women. And we were probably 21, 22, and like,
wow.
Like, we were like, we will come and sing, but I'm feeling as though I've never had less to bring to the table. Yeah. And I could never begin to understand with what my life looks like right now. I've never even been married, so I just can't comprehend what they've walked through. But we will show up if you would like us to. She's someone that we just trust. When she says, Spirit called me to do this, we're like, then we're doing it. And she asked specifically to sing this song of ours called New Thing, that has in such a cool way been really cool to Elizabeth as well. And this song speaks for itself. It's about God doing a new thing. It's from Isaiah, where the Lord says, remember not the former things, for I'm doing a new thing. And Zoe, when we were in college, just the song came to her, and she just wrote it one day. And she says, I'll just speak for you. Yeah. She says that she doesn't even really remember writing the whole song or how it came about, but it's just one of those, you know, creative pieces where you're like, the Lord imparted this to me. And she wrote the song, and we showed up and we sang that song and a couple other songs. And the women kept coming up to us and saying, thank you for writing this song for us.
You're wow.
like, oh my gosh, we didn't.
Yeah.
Like, so we wrote it like 3 years ago, and Elizabeth asked us to sing it, and she believed it was for you, but we didn't write this for you. But and now it's
he
like,
did.
Yes,
he did.
Like, yeah, you know? We did, you know? Yeah. Mm. Like, we didn't write this as a theme song for today, but it's your song for sure.
Mm. Yeah.
They had a year or so later, they had a conference in Atlanta, and they asked us to come lead that song. And so we went, and the theme of the whole conference was new. It was based on New Thing, based on the song. And it was 250 women. And they were at this conference, they were widowed, and in the bridge of the song New Thing, the lyrics say, all of heaven is singing a champion's kind of song, and it echoes in the living, it's cheering you on. And we will never get over the feeling of singing this song that is not ours, it's God's song. And we sang it for these women who we believe it was for them, and all 250 of their husbands were in heaven singing a champion's kind of song over them. And it was echoing in the living at in that moment, like cheering them on. And it was just like, I have never experienced a song so specifically written for a group of people. And these women would talk about how the women who founded the ministry, they're also widows. And they would talk about how the most beautiful part about New Thing being their anthem was that they don't want a new thing. Like they want the old thing. They want their husband. Mm. They want what life looked like before. But sure. they have no choice but to lean in to what the Bible tells us is true, that if God is doing a new thing, then it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. And I've never experienced the gospel so tangibly as me showing up being like, I have nothing to offer, but I'm going to worship anyways. Mm. And it's like, I have nothing to offer Christ, but he gives me his salvation. And all I have to do is worship.
Yeah. Mm. It was an amazing experience. It didn't really hit us until we were on that stage singing New Thing in front of, because we had done a couple different retreats for them over the years, and we'd sang New Thing at every single one. So it was probably year three that they had their first ever national conference. We show up, and it didn't really hit us until we were on stage and we were singing these lyrics. All of heaven is singing a champion's kind of song, and it echoes in the living. It's cheering you on. Like, it didn't really hit me until that moment. And it was just, it speaks to the truth that like scripture is alive and it is breathing. And if the truth of scripture is not true for the widow sitting next to me, then it's not true for me. Like that song meant something to me when I wrote it. It meant something to Jenna when we recorded it. It's meant different. Like the Lord has spoken through it and spoken truth through that song to many different hearts, including a grieving widow. And it's like, it's powerful to see the word alive and breathing and like ministering to different people's hearts, no matter what they're going through. Mm.
I felt like that was the first time in my life that I really understood what it means that scripture is alive and breathing and it's always true, because the sentiment of remember not the former thing, for I'm doing a new thing, has always meant something very different to me than it did to those women at that conference and the women who love that song. And it's just like, wow, how can the same words mean something so profoundly different to different people? And it's because scripture is alive.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I've heard you share this at the breakfast where I heard you guys lead worship, and I had goosebumps then, but as you guys shared it again, I had goosebumps again. Mm-hmm. That is showing, just like you said, how powerful God's word is, the way he speaks. And mm-hmm. I never thought, like you just said, Jenna, too, I've always looked at that scripture and thought, oh yeah, I can't wait for the new thing. Right. That is what that word means. And yet I've just telling someone this weekend about your testimony saying some people don't want the new thing, right? Yeah. I mean, ultimately our hearts crave what God wants, but so what you just said about that is so profound. And clearly after this podcast airs, I'm going to have to share the song on our Facebook page and our Instagram so people know what we're talking about, because
yeah,
awesome, awesome.
As soon as we stop recording, song. I'm going to hear it. Yeah,
it is a great, great word, obviously given right by God for what that moment was and for who knows how many moments to come, right?
Yeah.
That's the way that God works. Well, another story that you shared, another thing that you shared, Zoe, I know you said this when I was at the prayer breakfast. We're talking about dreams this month, and at the end of the month, we're going to talk about Joseph even more, but you said something about the difference between a dream and a calling. Mm. And it really hit me when you said that, because sometimes, you know, it can be confusing as to what a dream is that God's put on your heart and the calling that he's given you. And sometimes that takes us to a place where we are putting on ourselves expectations that we don't need to meet, right? Or we're thinking that things should be happening by now, right? And then they're not. Yes. And so we know that leads to a lot of disappointment and whatnot. You know, Zoe, can you share about what you said? And then Jenna, anything you have to add to that? Would just love to share that with our listeners, because it was really profound for me.
Awesome. Thank you. I think the question that was posed that kind of led to that answer was, what would be your advice to somebody who, you know, wants to be doing what you're doing? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of things I could say, but specifically what you've singled out is I said to this young woman, I was like, don't confuse your calling with your dreams. And let me be very clear. God loves when we dream. Like, he loves my dreams. He loves Jenna's dreams. He loves when we dream, and he knows the desires of our hearts. Dreaming is not a bad thing. But when I think back on what he called me to do, he called me when I was younger to, first of all, be his daughter and like be in love with him and to be like sit at his feet. But when it comes vocationally, I feel like he has called me to write songs for the church and to lead worship. And the times where I have had the most disappointment and the most confusion are when I feel like he has actually called me to have a record deal, to have a publishing deal, to be on a headlining tour that is selling out arenas. When I'm like, no, God, you called me to these things. And like, I know that this is what you have for me. And he's like, we have dreamed of those things together, but I've called you to be a worship leader, to write songs for the church. And that church couldn't be made up of 5 people or 500 people and to lead worship for 5 people or 500 people. And when I have the most peace and I feel the most like, oh gosh, Lord, I'm so grateful for where I am. And like, I can see that you're in all this is when I recognize that that is exactly what I'm doing. I'm doing exactly what he's called me to do. Now, do I have dreams of getting a record deal, getting to publish? Of course. And like, he might, like that might be in the cards for me, but it's also very real that that might not be in the cards for me. Like, that's also a real thing that the Lord and I have to talk about and we have to work through. And that's just like part of life. And I'm not selling God short. I'm just like trying not to get confused about expectations and like what, and really seeing and not just always looking towards the next thing. Like I'm on a treadmill, like, oh, I have to hit this. I have to hit this. Like we are really living out what he has called us to do. And there's a lot of peace in that. And there's a lot of like comfort in that. And yeah.
I have found that when I try to make my calling look like my dreams, I get really exhausted. Like it's really disappointing. It's like, here's my calling to be a worship leader, to write songs for the church. And here are my dreams. And when I'm like pushing it, it's just, it's exhausting and it's disappointing. And sometimes these dream things happen. And I believe that a lot of them are still yet to come, but it's not my timing and it's not my will. But then when I like flip that and I try to make my dreams look like my calling, it really makes for such a joyful and fruitful life. Yeah. Like it can be like, wow, these opportunities that I am experiencing, isn't this what I dreamed of? Like, isn't it a dream come true that I am making money off of music and I do get to lead worship for groups of people? Like I am writing songs that people care about. Like, isn't that the dream as well?
I also think this kind of just came to me as well, which I think is interesting. Maybe it's the Lord, but like we don't have to wait to live out our calling, but we might have to wait on a dream. Like we might have to wait to see some of our dreams come true, you know, in that sense, but we don't have to wait to start living out our calling. And that's a really easy way to kind of like differentiate between those two things. I think I'm not entirely sure, but I think
I would agree. Like I led worship at my church in high school. There was a woman one time who came up to me after a service and she was like, the Lord gave me a vision for you. And he showed me a picture of you in the future and you're leading worship for rooms of women. And I remember when I heard that word, I was actually really disappointed because at that time I was like, I don't want to just do women's ministry. Like I was young and I wanted to do something big and I wanted to do what I thought was cool. And I was like 16 and I was like, women's ministry, like I want to be leading worship for like my peers and college kids. And I want everybody to be whatever, you know, like I was like, I don't want to be confined to that. Even though at this point in my life, women's ministry is everything to me. It's just, it's that the Lord works. And now in my life, the things that are the most important to me and the things that we have done with our career that I'm like, that is everything. They're all women's ministry. They're all women's ministry events. They're the widows conference. They're the breakfast that Laura came to. They're this podcast right now. It's like my daughter's conference. Like we do like girls youth things regularly. And it's like, wow, my calling has morphed into that dream. And it didn't look like what I would have painted for myself in high school. But like, I just think that's really powerful.
Wow. Go ahead, Deb.
I think if you push your dreams, you can get off your calling.
Yes.
Ooh. Right. When you push it, you can get off. Go ahead, Laura.
I was just going to say, I love you guys so much. And I had to say that because I just get so fired up being in a room with you guys talking about God's word. And I'm feeling that same fire hearing you guys talk about what God has given you to do. And I just think that that is so exciting to see you guys fired up about the thing that God has called you to do with such a depth of humility and desiring to just know more of Jesus. And I love hearing, you know, you were created first to sit at his feet. Love that. Right. And that's where all of this comes from. So, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead, Deb. Sorry. And, I just love you.
And anyone who knows Laura for a long time, she just loves to get fired up. That's just that is such a Laura thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's called us to pursue our calling and to keep believing for our dreams. But God is the one in control. He's the one that's authoring the story of our lives. And so allowing God to just continue to like write the pages of how this is going to play out is important versus trying to control what goes on the pages. Well, Laura and I are going to be talking about Joseph and his dreams in the next two podcasts. And if you look at Joseph's dream, I mean, he had these dreams about being this amazing, you know, leader being bowed down to. It was actually his calling to be a leader. But when you look at his life and the way it played out, the calling to be a leader took place. But the way God got him there was the last thing that he expected in his dream, because his dream was about his family bowing down and, you know, like bowing before him. And boy, there's a whole lot of hardship between the dream and when that actually took place at the end of the story. So I think it's so important to not confuse the two. God has established a calling on your life even before you were conceived. Yeah. You know, he's got that plan. He loves to place dreams in our hearts.
Yes.
But I need to pursue the one who's created me, not pursue just the dream, but the one who is calling me and pursuing that intimacy with him and trusting that as God is unfolding the details of our day to day, we may look at our environment right around us and go, this doesn't really line up with what I was dreaming. We need to step back and remember God has seen a far bigger picture and how this is going to play out in our calling.
That's so good.
Cool. So let me ask you guys now, what do you feel like God is speaking to your hearts now? And I ask you that because we are in two different generations, right? And I feel like in your generation, God is just igniting this fire, right? In your generation. And so how are you seeing through worship and through the things that God has allowed you to be part of, how are you seeing God move in the hearts of the people in your generation? You know, I believe God's raising up an army in your generation. What do you think God is speaking to your heart right now? And what do you see him doing in this generation for the kingdom?
That's a great question. We get to be a part of a lot of youth ministry events, which is awesome. And I do think that something that we always note whenever we go and do a couple of these specific camps that we're both thinking about, is there's just a really deep hunger for something that's real and something that is, like they're just desperate. Like there's so much social media and so much like appearances and comparison and all this kind of stuff. And these students come to these camps and they're just like really hungry for, for like the realness of God and an opportunity to be vulnerable with peers and opportunity to be vulnerable with like their father. And so we notice a lot. This past summer, we had a summer camp that we went to that we've been going to for years and years and years. And I mean, there were nights we were up there on stage as a band for like 2 hours, just like making space for the students to pray for each other like come to the altar. Like it was amazing. Yeah, I definitely see just like the hunger in our generation, in the next generation, hunger.
Yes, I see a lot of zeal and like passion in our generation and younger than us. Like as we're leading some of these rooms, I think it's really cool the way that these students are so excited to worship and dive in when it's fun, not just when it's deep. It's not just the melancholy moments. It's not just, you know, soaking in worship for an hour. It's like some of these songs that have energy and the whole room is like jumping. Like they want to experience every facet of who God is, not just the melancholy and the somber. They want to experience like the deep well of joy that worship can also bring. And I just think that's really cool. There's something so specific about kind of every generation when they're in that high school, middle school, like early college age group, where you go to camps and you go to these conferences and you get to experience what joy and like worship and like through joy looks like. And I just think I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, definitely joy. Amazing. They're looking for joy, like real joy.
And it's not just, we went to the Belonging for a while in college, and it's such an amazing church. And I'll never forget, the pastor was talking about how there's not a junior Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
How the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool to see like sixth graders at these like middle high school camps, the sixth graders that are just moved by the Spirit in the room. It's not something that we need to reserve for private moments. And it's not that we need to try to control because it'll get too big. Like, let's invite the Spirit to move and watch what He does. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
And there was a week at camp this summer, the same one Zoe was talking about, where there was this sixth grade boy who during worship came to the front of the room and came right up to the stage and raised both hands and was, you know, singing and really getting into it night one. And then night two, he went to his leader in the side of the room and was like receiving prayer and like just having a really special moment during worship with his leader. And then after that, every night he would get his group of other sixth grade boys. And during worship, they would all have their arms around one another. And it got to the point where towards the end of the week, this little boy was on his hands and knees on his face in worship, crying, encountering the Spirit. And he's about 11. Like, I think there is a deep well of what the Spirit wants to do in worship. And so often we try to tame Him.
Yeah. Yes.
At a setting, there's no taming the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because showing up ready for chaos on all fronts.
Yeah.
So chaos leads into worship. And I want to invite that chaos back into my life as an adult. Like,
amen.
I want to feel like I'm like the Spirit and calls me to do kind of reckless things, like, you know, speaking to strangers and believing that a sign is from Him and it's not just my brain telling me. And I think it's special to invite that sort of like chaos back into our relationship with the Holy Spirit that we had when we were kids, because He didn't have to play it safe.
Yeah. It's not even chaos. I think it's freedom.
Yeah.
It's freedom to just dance like David did. Right.
Yeah.
It's that freedom. And I love to hear stories like that. I was a kids pastor for a long, long time. Yeah. And so I resonate with what you're saying, right? Because if you can capture the dreams and understanding the intimacy, the calling, as a kid, you're far less likely to wander away when you hit that young adult, you know, so let them go, man. Let them explore that and encounter the presence of God earlier. The earlier, the better.
Yeah.
100%.
Right? A pastor that we love, Tarn Cross. I know that you know her, Laura. I love her.
Laura loves everybody.
Positively. But she was teaching us about like how to walk well with God is to build a history with Him and to take note of your history with Him. And speaking to that, like the history with the Lord that these students are building in their moments in worship with the Lord, like that's going to carry them into adulthood. Like I look back on my history with God specifically when it was hard, and that's how I know who He's going to be.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Good stuff.
All right. So I just want to like multiply you guys. so many young men I've been praying for that I'm like, God, where are the good young women? I'm like, okay, I know you're already married. I know one is already married.
Right here. I'm just right like, here. She's right here. Gosh,
that's right. That's right.
Yes.
Awesome. Inspirational.
Oh, I love it.
Well, we love to give our guests a chance to like a final word, a final say, especially an action point. Like, what would you give our listeners as an encouragement? What is something they could do in order to really pursue their call or their dream, or maybe to know their call or their dream? What would you say to that?
Something that I encourage people to do a lot, which is, I kind of spoke to this at the beginning of the podcast as well. But a few years ago, when I really believed that when I see things in doubles, and when I, you know, maybe it's something as simple as I watch a movie and the next day I hear someone in public quote that movie, or maybe it's something deeper of like a specific thing I see in creation, like butterflies all around me and maybe places they really shouldn't be. Like when I see things in repetition and doubles and triples, whatever it may be, I decided a long time ago to just believe that that's God. Like, what's the worst thing that happens? Like, I get to heaven and I believed too often that something was the Lord speaking to me. That's not going to happen. Like, I have decided to clock evidence of him in my life and just believe that it's him. And that has served me so well, because I find that I get led along the right path, and I do get led in my calling and to moments that I know are for me and to opportunities that I know are for me. And it keeps my spirits high and it keeps me hopeful when I just decide that if anything could be God, then it is. If anything could be evidence of his presence, then it is. I think that would be my piece of advice, that if you can soften your heart to believe that any evidence of God could be him, and just decide that it is, decide that he's speaking to you. If the word that you're hearing in your mind or in your heart, if it sparks fruits of the spirit, then it's him. Like,
amen.
Believing that, could it be God? Yes, it is. Has served me.
Yeah. I love that. That's so good. I think mine would just be like, make space for him. Just make space. Whatever that looks like for you, in the morning, in the night, in the middle of the day, in your car, if you need to stop listening to music or whatever it is. Like, music's great. Obviously I do that full time, but, you know, whatever that looks like, it just makes space. I think that's been, it's just so easy. It's so easy to fill it. And I do it all the time, but he wants to meet with every single one of us. And so we need to make that space for him.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, this has been such a joy, to use a word we've already spoken about today, to be with you guys, Jenna and Zoe. It's been a gift to me. I know it has been to Deb as well, and I know it will be to our listeners. I really do love you guys so much. I just feel like I need to keep saying that. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I love what God is doing in and through you. And so thank it's you. So encouraging. So encouraging. So thank you for being with us. We've loved having you here, and we look forward to hearing what God is going to grow through you more. Mm-hmm. And we're excited to, see what God is going to continue to do. But what he is doing now is just amazingly beautiful. So thanks for sharing it with us. If you have been listening with us today, and I'm sure this has encouraged your heart, you have someone in that 20 to 30 generation, right, who is just wanting a deeper walk with Jesus, I would encourage you to share this with not just them, but anybody really who is looking for a deeper walk with Jesus. So much good truth here. But next week, we're going to start with our story on Joseph. We have 2 weeks coming up, looking at Joseph's dreams and some of the resistance to those dreams. And also some, just looking next week at like, who are you supposed to share your dreams with, right? Okay. Who are your trusted people?
And when?
So we're going to talk about when. That. Yeah. So it's a good thought, and we'd love to have you join us there. So thanks for being with us today, from Deb, Zoe, Jenna, and myself. Thanks for being with us, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We believe that God will use what was shared to encourage you as you step into the more that he has prepared for you today. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, remember, you were created for more.